The Victoria Theater in downtown Dayton has survived two fires and a flood, but in the early 1970s, an economic downturn threatened the theater. Citizens rallied to save the Victory, as it was known at the time. Yellow Springs resident Fred Bartenstein and Dorothy Harbach of Lebanon remember how the community pulled together to save the Victoria Theater from demolition.
In the early part of the 70s in Dayton, Ohio, there were some tremendous economic dislocations. The NCR Corporation laid off 15,000 manufacturing workers. They kept their world headquarters here, but they closed down manufacturing in Dayton. The Frigidaire Corporation, which at the time was a division of General Motors, closed entirely. Dayton Tire, Dayton Press had been closing within the 70s, and the WAGs had bumper stickers saying things like, "Last one to leave Dayton, turn out the lights." There was a great feeling of loss in the community, and that was the context in which tearing down the Victory Theater seemed like one more nail in the coffin of a dying city.
At that time, I was the marketing director for the Reichs department store, now Macy's, and in fact, the main department store, the downtown store, was at the corner of 2nd and Main Street, which is just a block away from the Victoria Theater. Well, I was very upset about that because this had been such a part of my personal life. So I called a good friend of mine, Jean Capel, who was a newspaper writer. She had her own column in the Dayton Daily News, and we met for lunch, and we said, "What can two ladies do to save this great theater?" Well, the first thing that occurred to us is if we could just get them to hold off and not tear it down, that would be a substantial step. So we called, and the manager said he would see us the next day. His name was Jack Keyes, and he was very nice, and he didn't really want to tear down the theater, but he said, "You know, it cost me a lot of money for this empty building." So then Jean Capel right away wrote a column, and that got things going, and then she and I went around and talked to various groups and to some very leading citizens about saving the theater. The great philanthropists in the town at that time were not excited about saving it. They didn't think it was practical. But the people, the residents themselves, jumped on board.
People came out of the woodwork. One that I remember, and you may remember too, was a General Motors worker at one of the GM plants in Dayton. His name was Howard Selby. Howard Selby had just bought a car. He was an assembly line worker. And he was so excited about saving the Victory, he said he would go take a loan, a second mortgage, I guess, a loan back on his car for $1,000. And he would contribute that $1,000. That, by the way, was the largest single contribution we received to the Save the Victory campaign, with only one condition: that he would be allowed to sing on stage at the Victory Theater, which had been his lifelong dream.
Well, you know, saving the Victoria Theater just didn't save just that building, is what you were referring to. It saved a lot of other things. I don't think we would have the Loft Theater today if we hadn't saved the Victoria Theater. And the Dayton Ballet, which is the second oldest regional ballet in the country, now has their own rehearsal hall, and they perform it. They finally had a home.
Actually, the funny thing is that in 2010, we are in a strange way back to that same economic crisis coming out of the recession and another wave of industrial dislocation. Dayton has a crisis of confidence today that is very much like the crisis in the early 70s. But it's interesting to me that we lost many more manufacturing jobs in the early 70s and recovered from that than we've lost in the latest wave. Although
I think there's a new vision for Dayton, too. I think there are going to be more entrepreneurs, maybe smaller businesses, very scientific approaches. It's a whole different look.
Fred Bartenstein and Dorothy Harbach at StoryCorps in Dayton, Ohio. Their conversation was edited by Sevilla Mann. It will be archived in the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress and on the WYSO website at wyso.org.